This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue to process week two in the National Football League. Patriots rolling along, shutting out the Miami Dolphins, just beating up on Miami. The tough weekend for NFL officials. And listen, there's no sympathy for NFL officials. It's a tough job, but we do not care. We do not have any sympathy. You make a bad call, you make a bad call. Cameron Jordan running back a fumble for a touchdown for the New Orleans Saints that got called back, and not called back in the sense that they ruled it incomplete or anything like that. They thought that Jared Goff had thrown an incomplete pass. Cameron Jordan picks it up. He's running. They blow the whistle. Realize it's a fumble. They just give the Saints possession. They don't score a touchdown. They didn't have a touchdown at all in the game. Now it's 3-3. And listen, I'm consistent on this. I don't think that it's, you know, you just add 7 points to a 27-9 game and go, okay, it would have been just 27-16. I have no idea what that would have done to the Saints. I don't know how, I have any idea if the game switches, if there's a momentum switch. I don't know. I mean, it's hard without Drew Brees in the game and Teddy Bridgewater not doing much to put the Saints in the end zone. I don't know if that becomes a play in which, had it stood, it changes the outcome of the game. I kind of doubt it, but nevertheless, that really is irrelevant. That's not really the point. It doesn't matter if the game was a blowout or if it's 3-3 at the time. You have no idea how that's going to play out. I know that Walt Anderson, who blew the whistle, is a veteran, but I am still amazed that with the replay and what replay can do to games, that these referees at times, sometimes, get quick to blow a play dead when they're not really 100% sure. I just don't understand why you wouldn't let it play out. Just let it play out and then sort it out on the back end. It's totally okay to do that. It's amazing that that went down. And it's amazing that for the third game in a row, going back to last year, the Saints have been robbed of something in a game by a really, really bad call by an official. And in the NFC Championship game, it likely cost them the game. In this one, maybe not. But it's amazing that Sean Payton hasn't blown a gasket over this. He probably should. But he got a contract extension, so maybe all is good.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Robert, this is the guy you're going to block now because he's from Michigan?
No.
Right?
Because he decided to just bring up the fact that he got a W.
That's right. Robert says, the game at times, this is the Chargers-Lions game, the game at times seemed like a Division II matchup. Right, Ron? Lots of mistakes, penalties.
I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Fortunately, the Lions made a few plays down the stretch.
No. That's not how it went down.
Oh, God.
I'm going to blame officiating.
Why not? Everybody else should.
I know.
Why not?
No, that's just. I knew they were going to lose this game before the game even kicked off. I just had this feeling that this is the game the Chargers lose.
Listen. Remember, I said last year with the Steelers they were going to lose in Oakland. And we're like, yeah, I don't know, man. The Raiders stink. You just sometimes know your team.
You just know. Know better than you.
Exactly. I'm like, I've been dealing with this for a long time. I know my team stinks on the West Coast. All right, I know this. They always lose out west. Trust me, they're going to lose. And they lost. And who was not surprised when everybody said it was shocking? Me. Same thing with you. You probably just went, I just got a feeling. It's this weird, weird feeling this is not going to go our way.
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe it's the pencil in the ear, the backwards hat by Matt Patricia.
Maybe so.
No idea why this would ever happen. Because yep. I can't tell. Outside of Matt Stafford, I can't tell you who's on the Lions.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's funny. The Lions are one of those teams where I think of a player and then I realize he's on another team.
Truth be told,
truth
be told, though, there's a lot of players on the Chargers I don't know either. So
yeah, there you go.
It's kind of like a revolving door of players sometimes.
Yep.
But so, no, that wasn't surprising.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm going to block Robert.
So anyway, this is tonight's game, the Cleveland Browns against the Jets. Now, if the Browns lose, do they have to earn our attention again, or do we still go, no, they're going to turn?
Because
remember they lost week one, and you and I both said, look, they're not in trouble. Nobody freak out. They lost a week one. They were overhyped, but they're still extremely talented. It was just a bad game. Didn't go their way. They'll turn it around. They lose on the road against a Jets team led by Trevor Siemian. Is it time to go, same old Browns, wake us up when you're decent?
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Because I think what's going to happen, too, is because the hype train was so massive.
Very massive.
That you're going to start seeing dissension in the locker room.
Maybe so, yeah.
You know, maybe OBJ starts getting a little annoyed. Like, you know, I didn't want to come to this.
I didn't come to this. I came to be on part of America's new team.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You guys were going somewhere. Now we're not.
Hey, listen, we weren't the only ones. There was a lot of media pundits out there who said, hey, don't panic on the Browns. This is still a very, very good team.
Yeah.
We're good. They're good. Don't freak out. This happens. Okay, I can buy that. But if you lose to the Jets with Trevor Siemian at quarterback, now we got another problem.
Now we can freak out a little bit.
Now we can freak out a little bit. That's right.
Now we can start sitting there going, you know what? Freddie Kitchens, you're not the man.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring back I already forgot who was the coach last
year.
Greg Williams. Bring him back.
Yeah. Bring him back.
Even though he's out there telling people, it's like, I never said, you know, bounty for my defensive players.
Yeah. Oh, Greg Williams. What was his line? Go kill the head. If you kill the head, the body will die.
Yeah.
Was that his line?
Something like that. You know, it's that whole thing, like, you know, killing the snake.
Yeah.
It's for war use. If you kill the head of the, if you kill the general, the rest of the soldiers won't really fall in line. They'll just
be like,
we don't know what to do now. We give up.
Jeez, what a line. Kill the head and the body will die. Good Lord. Give me a break. So the New England Patriots are just rolling along.
Now, I heard a report. I'm not 100%. I've heard this and I've seen it in a couple different places that Antonio Brown did not stick around in the locker room at all.
Oh, no. Why would he want a piece of the friendly New England media asking him questions?
I heard another thing, or I read somewhere else, that even his nameplate was removed.
What?
From the locker. It's like, I thought I saw it like on the New York Post or something. I was like, well, that's something.
All right. Well, let me follow that up. I don't know. He looked like he was blending in rather nicely with the train that is the New England Patriots. So he turned down, this was a Jeff Darlington report, that he turned down, a $2 million settlement in this civil case? So he's, you know, look, he is adamant that he did not do this, and this is a money grab. If you are going to profess that, turning down a $2 million settlement is exactly what you would do. If you are publicly saying that you didn't do this and this is a money grab by her, you would not settle into a meeting to give away $2 million of your own money to make this go away. He doesn't seem to want it to go away. He seems to want to say, no, I didn't do this. Not only did I not do this, she is extorting me for this money, and I'm not going to take it. And I'm going to... So, I don't know. Again, I've said this many times. I'm not going to make any judgments on this. I have no idea what happened. I don't even want to speculate what happened. And I find it creepy when people do. I don't know Antonio Brown at all. Like, I don't know if he's a liar. I don't know if he's a very truthful person. I don't know anything about his personality. I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to let this play out. I said this earlier in the show. The criticism of the Patriots that I had was when they came out and publicly said if they had known about this, they wouldn't have signed Antonio Brown. You could still get rid of Antonio Brown. Right? And, or better yet, you didn't have to play him in the game against the Dolphins. But I think they should have played him against the Dolphins. Because as far as I'm concerned, until the NFL says something about this in their own investigation, he's eligible to play. You may not like it. I may not like it. But that's the way it goes. Right? He may not have done this. There is a possibility he may not have done this. And because of that possibility existing, then he gets the benefit of the doubt and can play in this league. Now, if the NFL said, you know, that antics in Oakland, that's silly, and you know what, that was a bad look, you're suspended for two games. It has nothing to do with this civil case. It has everything to do with just you and Oakland. They could have done that if they wanted to. They probably would have. It probably would have been appealed, and you know, there really wasn't that much to get a suspension over, but maybe the league decides to. Fine. But they didn't. He was eligible to play for the Patriots. We may not have liked how Antonio Brown got to New England, but it was all legal, right? Played it. The Raiders didn't have to cut him. The Raiders could have said, go bounce in. You can play for us or not play at all. But they released him. Patriots picked him up. He was activated. He could play. Until the league says otherwise, he can play. I just don't think the Patriots have to come out and go, oh, yeah, by the way, we think this is serious enough. We would have signed him if we knew. Yeah, you would have. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, so because somebody else would have.
Why wouldn't you? If you just because you know about it doesn't mean he did it. Look, guys,
listen,
I don't want to sound at all like I know what happened because I don't. But this could be exactly what he's saying it is. There is a possibility that this is exactly what this is.
Who was it recently? We had a similar situation with somebody recently, didn't we?
Oh, God, yeah, like, this sounds familiar.
Like, was it Reuben Foster?
Yeah. Wasn't that it?
Where it came out that he did all these things. I mean, he has a checkered past.
Right.
But I think it was Reuben Foster was being accused of something, and then the woman retracted saying, oh, no, she
recanted her story.
Just trying to get some money.
Now, listen, and I wonder how often this kind of stuff goes on where you don't know about it. Right? Where they get told all the time, hey, give me $50,000 and I'll make this go away. Or, you know, I'm sure a lot of these guys are hit up like this all the time. I'm not saying he didn't do it. And if he did, my God, let him, you know, suspend him, whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, kick him off the team. I don't care. But up until this point, the Patriots don't have to apologize for this. The Patriots don't have to sort of appeal to a screaming fan base about this. And I know they want to cover their bases, right? They know that there's a group of fans that don't care and just like, yeah, let the league sort this out. And until then, let them play. So they're more or less trying to appease the segment of the fan base that finds this sort of thing disgusting. And they don't want the Patriots anywhere near somebody like this. Even if it's just an accusation, I understand the spin. But you don't have to do this. You do not have to apologize and make this kind of statement. Because again, if that is so important to you, remember, they're not saying if this goes against Antonio Brown, we're going to release him. They were saying that because this existed, if they had known that this civil lawsuit existed, they wouldn't have signed him. I think that's a load of crap. I think absolutely you'd still sign him.
No, of course
I don't
would.
Believe this for a second.
They would have signed him.
This nonsense that they wouldn't have signed him. Are you out of your mind? Now, I know Patriot fan will say, we don't really need him. You don't.
No,
but
you know
I don't believe for a second they wouldn't have signed him.
It's a safe thing to say. That's all it is.
That's exactly right.
It's a safe thing to say because if you end up cutting him, hey, you know what? This whole thing, we didn't want it in the first place. This is not our culture.
Right.
But the Patriots can't say that because their owner was, you know, remember
hey,
that
I
whole
know,
thing?
I know.
$59 to take a private jet. That whole story.
But, you know, so, look.
They would have signed him. That's why they're playing him. And they're going about it the way they're supposed to be going about it. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And we can't fault the Patriots for doing it.
I don't have any problem with it.
Like you said in the first hour, if we're going to start suspending players or withholding players from playing because of accusations, this league is going to go downhill very quickly.
Absolutely. You've got to let this play out in the court of whatever court it is, right?
Yeah.
Court of law, court of the NFL, whatever it is. You've got to let this play out.
And for any of you guys out there sitting on your high horse saying, well, I would never sign them, you know, just, you know, especially if you're a Cowboys fan. Yeah, I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan saying, you know what, we never would have signed Antonio Brown, that's disrespectful and blah, blah, blah. You guys signed Greg Hardy.
Yep, sure.
You know,
sure.
If you're talented enough, you're going to get a job.
That's exactly right.
And that's all that matters.
If you're eligible to play and you are talented enough, you are going to work in this league.
Because we're just going to.
They've shown it time and time again.
Another example where somebody was accused of something that didn't fall through was Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, Laremy, exactly.
Remember, I mean, the whole gas mask thing. Yeah, sure, he was stupid and reckless. That was when he was a freshman. But that had nothing to do when he was coming out of college.
Yeah.
And as soon as he gets in, as soon as he gets, it was that day, right? The day of the draft?
Yep.
Fell out of the draft.
Yep. Exactly. He's been a pretty good player. Not a great player, but a pretty good, a good enough player. You know, not a detriment to a team.
No. I mean, more helpful than harmful.
Lyle Collins. We brought
Lyle
him up.
Lyle
Collins when he got signed. Lyle Collins, all he did was date a woman who was found murdered. And they were like, and the police were like, we just wanted to ask him where he was. That's all. And teams were like, no.
Don't draft him.
No way. Grades out a great prospect on the offensive line. We don't have anything to do with that.
He
Are you kidding
to jail.
Me? Police talking to him? You got to be kidding. Girlfriend murdered? No, we're staying away. Now, I can't, granted, those teams had very limited limited information. Right at the time. And so they were processing that as quickly as possible because it kind of came out on the draft day. So I kind of understand some of these teams maybe going, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to look bad by drafting this guy who's going to get arrested for this. So I understand, but he didn't do any of it. They immediately ruled him out as a suspect. But then it was too late. By then it was too late. He wasn't drafted. So, you know, listen, I just think from the Patriots standpoint, you do not have to apologize for this. Just let people be angry and let people go through their normal motions with something like this. But Antonio Brown is an eligible football player in the National Football League, and most teams would have wanted him if he was of the right mind. If he wanted to be there, right? If he really, really wanted to play for your team, like he wants to play for the New England Patriots, he would have been fine.
And if he's 100%
guilty,
Brady threw
him three times immediately.
Right. I mean, if he's 100% guilty and you're still playing Patriots, then shame on you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But right now, we can't say that.
Right? And maybe the investigation comes out and he's absolutely blown up. But until then, we'll see. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Roll along on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Michael on Twitter. Always love tweets from Michael. The Patriot fan. The NFL cannot suspend AB until after an internal investigation. With more and more states legalizing gambling, all you have to do is hire a woman to make false allegations. The NFL suspends the significant player and the lines change. That's exactly right. You look, I know everybody wants the NFL to act quickly on something like this. You can't. Let's not overreact here. We have no idea how this is going to play out. The league has to do its investigation. It has to look into this. It's a civil matter, not a criminal matter, but the league still has to look into it for the best interest of the league, and it has to make sure it gives the player, the rightful investigation that it deserves. They can't have a knee-jerk reaction. They need to see the evidence or know about evidence as best as they possibly can to make a determination. You know, sometimes, like, look at the way Ezekiel Elliott got suspended, and, you know, they felt like something was there even though they couldn't prove it. They still suspended him, and that's where Jerry Jones lost his mind. Right? The league can still come in and go, yeah, this is still not, we don't like the way this looks. We did our investigation. We talked to the people. We're not making a statement of guilt or innocence, but it's enough to make us, you know, detrimental to the league. Yeah. So we're going to suspend you, but they still have to do an investigation. Absolutely correct. You can't have it any other way. I know it's an emotional topic. I get it. I know this isn't, this isn't without its, you know, hardcore people who are very, very determined to jump on board, whatever, you know, a quick side on this. But you have to let an investigation play out. You really do. And by the way, don't pick a side based on football. Like, just let the league do its thing. Don't assume he's innocent because you like him as a player, or don't assume he's guilty because you don't like him as a person.
Just let the league play out. Hold off and let the league do its thing. Let the people who are responsible for this. It's hard to do. I know it's sports, right? You remember, I mean, on a lesser note, a lot less serious, but still at the time it was important. Remember whole Deflategate? I remember people going, the severity of Deflategate had everything to do with how you felt about the Patriots. If you hated the Patriots, you thought Deflategate was the biggest crime the league had ever seen. If you liked the Patriots, you thought it was no big deal. And there were some of us who felt kind of like, I don't know, this seems silly. This is kind of dumb. This seems like, seems kind of weird for the league to be acting like this. I know this issue is a little bit more serious, but nevertheless, it's a very good tweet. By the way, Michael's on to something with that legalized gambling. You kind of watch, you know.
Yeah, is this insider information?
Yeah, I know.
Is this something? Because I mean, first I've ever heard of this. I'm a little concerned now for you, Michael.
Yeah. Well played.
Might need to go into the witness protection program. You're just letting the cat out of the bag right there.
Yeah, don't let the cat out of the bag on the insider on lines and all that good stuff. You don't want to do that.
You'll start seeing some weird injury reports. Now it's getting legalized across the board.
So what? You know what? You know what? You know why the NFL can drive you crazy sometimes? It's like college football in the old days when like one loss would kill a season. At least with the college football, you had a bowl game and you go, all right, look, this may not be our year, but let's go to a fun bowl game and let's go during the holidays. And least, you know, the NFL, you look forward to it for what? After the February, January to the start of the season, 8 months, you look forward to it. And then in 2 weeks, it falls apart on you completely.
Yep.
2 weeks it took. You know, my father's a Giants fan. He didn't have any expectations. I had a ton.
Yes, of course. Now I'm reading reports your quarterback might need surgery.
I know. Now they're talking about surgery.
Surgery.
Yikes.
You want to hear that for your quarterback.
Yeah.
In the beginning of a year.
Former Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph going to turn things around for the black and gold? I don't think so.
No.
God.
And what is it worse that your quarterback is hurting, or is it worse that you're looking at Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell laughing?
I know. Absolutely.
We left that dumpster fire.
I argued this all summer with people. I said, look, I know Antonio Brown was a pain. I know he's a problem. But the idea that this team is going to be just fine offensively is stupid. It's stupid. You can say it's okay. You're going to take a dip in production, but that's okay because there's a higher principle involved. That's fine. But to say that he was an all-pro wide receiver, right? You don't lose an all-pro wide receiver and get better. You lose an all-pro wide receiver and hope that the people who are going to replace him are good, but you don't get better. And Le'Veon Bell was the same thing. You don't get better. You lose these guys. They're good for a reason. They're not replaceable. It's not next man up. It's ridiculous. They're good for a reason. Same with Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to be Mason Rudolph. If he lights up this league, great. That's a bonus. But I'm not expecting it. He's a backup for a reason. I know. There's plenty of examples of backups who have come in and done great. Tom Brady's one of them. Perfect. Nobody knew who he was. He fills in for Bledsoe. You think the season's over. And next thing you know, you're winning the Super Bowl. That's awesome. But they're awesome. Those stories are good because they're pretty rare. Right? I mean, Kurt Warner was a good story. Tom Brady's a good story. But for the most part, think about all the backups who come in and replace starting quarterbacks who get hurt all the time. It happens all the time. And for the most part, they're average. For the most part, they're okay. But they're not anything special. The special ones we really remember. We put on a higher level because it's cool. It's a cool story. Right? Like Tom Brady, I had no idea who he was. Right, I didn't even know he played for Michigan at the time back in 2001 when he came in to play for Bledsoe. I had no idea. I had no idea who he was. Kurt Warner, I had no idea who he was. I mean, worse than Brady. I had no idea. They were telling me, oh, yeah, he bagged groceries just not that long ago. And like I'm like,
a month before, right?
What? I'm like, he's playing for the Rams? Remember, it was Trent Green that went down. Remember, Dick Vermeil cried because his starting quarterback lost his job. All of a sudden, they go, I don't even know this guy. Who's this guy bagging groceries going to take? And next thing you know, he's a Super Bowl champion. Tom Brady, Super Bowl champion. But for the most part, your season's over. Yuck.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Again, week two of the National Football League. It'll include tonight, Browns and Jets. Trevor Siemian filling in for the sick Sam Darnold out with mono.
So disappointing.
God,
I was really hoping for a sequel from last year.
I know. That was a good game.
Really was.
That was a fun game. Let's see if the Browns get back on track to the America's team we all know they should be. Right? All right. So I know you guys have been hearing Ron and I talk about this California bill that allows student athletes that will be pros if it gets signed by Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Starting in, I think, 2023, was that
yeah,
the year?
Yeah, I think you're right.
It would allow student-athletes in the state of California to profit on their image and likeness. So they asked, was it First Take on ESPN? Asked Tim Tebow about this, our good friend Tim Tebow. We say good friend, but, you know, because we like
he's
him.
A good friend.
He's a good friend of the program. So they asked Tim Tebow about this, and here's what he had to say regarding this bill.
I feel like I have a little credibility and knowledge about this because when I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it, and if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. Tim, we turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship. And you're taking that away so that young kids can earn a dollar. And that's just not where I feel like college football needs to go.
That's fair,
there's that
man.
Opportunity in the NFL, that's but fair. Not in college football.
I love Tim Tebow, but I don't think he's right on this stuff. I do not think he's right.
I don't think so either.
I think he's way, way, way oversimplifying this issue. First of all, the first point he makes is he had one of the top-selling jerseys around the world. That is true. Mm-hmm. He goes, I didn't make a dime off it, nor did I want to. Okay, but let me ask Tim Tebow this question. What if you were poor?
Yep.
That's the criticism that people had on Twitter. Response to this. What if you were flat broke? And I mean not broke. I mean your mother and father had no money, or maybe just your mother. You absolutely had $0. And that jersey was selling
not
off the
shelf. Not only did you have $0, but you know the house is your childhood home is falling apart. Or only
exactly.
had one bedroom.
That's
and
right.
You slept on the floor your entire career, your entire upbringing.
Now, then he talks about how the culture goes from it goes from us as a team to me, right? He uses that cliche, which is fine. I get it, right? When you have people who are going to now be looking after their own best interests, that is one of the problems I have with the bill. So I'm okay with him going down that road. It's a little cliche and it needs a little bit more breathing room, but I understand what he's saying. Look, if California has this bill, one of the big problems I have with this is, let's say I'm a recruit, but let's say this is universal. Right? Let's say it's every college in the country is going to let their student athletes, every state is going to let their student athletes make their image on likeness, right? There's still a recruiting disadvantage, because if I'm a kid and I can go anywhere in the country and I'm a five-star athlete, and would I go to Starkville, Mississippi or Los Angeles, California? Right? There's a lot more people willing to pay me in Los Angeles, California than maybe in Starkville, Mississippi. It's no knock on Starkville. It's a nice town. But you get what I'm saying. We're talking about the number two city in America.
There's a lot more opportunity. There could be that. So I get it.
And in a lot of ways, number one city, because you got Hollywood's there, yeah. Weather's there.
That's right.
There's
that's
a
right.
Lot, you know, the entertainment aspect that LA provides versus New York or say Chicago or something like that is a little bit better as well.
Exactly. And especially if you're one of those student athletes, right? Where let's say LeBron has an interest in you, likes your game, yep. Likes the way you play, just likes you as a person, that opens up a world of wealth to you as a student athlete at USC or UCLA.
My only argument to, you know, both you and Tebow being on the same page as, you know, creating selfish players or, you know, look at me type mentality, you have that already.
Oh, of course.
You know, I mean, I understand. Yes, everyone wants to win for the university. I get it. But you have a lot of players who are looking out for number one right now.
And by the way, how does Tebow feel about Kelly Bryant transferring from Clemson to Missouri? Right?
Or how about Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey skipping bowl games?
Exactly. Exactly.
Or skipping the combine.
I mean,
or skipping the bowl games for the combine.
But there's also this idea, right? That Tebow is projecting this idea of college athletics is this massively pure undertaking that is nothing of the sort. He knows this. He knows at Florida it was a gigantic business. It was very, very important to the bottom line that the Florida Gators won a lot of games. While it's still important today. It's why coaches get fired. Right? They don't get fired at some places. Like when I was at Air Force and I covered the Falcons and worked with the athletic program, Fisher DeBerry was there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever until finally his time had passed. But, you know, they winning and losing games at the Air Force Academy wasn't very crucial to the bottom line. It was at Colorado. It was at Colorado State, but not at Air Force. At Florida, it's like that times 100. The idea that it's this pure at amateur level athletics, that's naive, man. He knows better than that. He knows it 10 times better than I do.
Unless the wool was completely pulled over his eyes the entire time.
Exactly.
Unless he was sheltered, kept in the shadows, didn't know anything, or maybe it's to the point like he didn't want to know the darker side of things. I mean, that's a very real possibility, too. For some people, they just want to know, it's like, oh, it's all about, you know, game day and, you know, walking to, you know, heading to the game and just seeing the rows and rows of Gator fans with their face painted and, you know, it's all ages and, you know, all the fun stuff that when we sit back and we close our eyes and we think about college football on a Saturday morning and just, you know, seeing people, like, I always envisioned, like, people just walking through town, walking through campus, heading to the stadium as one collective unit. But there is a whole dark side that we do try to keep our eyes closed to.
Sure, sure.
And maybe Tebow's eyes have been closed to that, and he just never opened them. It wouldn't surprise me with him.
And listen, his point about that's why college fans are more passionate than NFL fans. That's true. I mean, yeah, that's true. I'll give him that
fact.
But also, yeah, and there are more. The attendance are greater. I mean, look, there's no 100,000 seat football stadiums in the National Football League. But also, if you had a stadium in the National Football League, like the LA Coliseum, for example, that could host 80, 90,000 people, the NFL tickets are too expensive to get 90,000 mm-hmm. people into a game. He's right about that. But it's not because, listen, Tim, he knows better than this too. If let's say I am a huge fan at Texas, okay? I love Texas football. I love Texas football with all my heart. I'm a season ticket holder. I went there. I graduated there. I want my kids to go there. I met my wife there. I'm all about burnt orange. I love Texas. I love Matthew McConaughey. I love Austin. I love Texas. I'm not going to not love Texas because a kid could make a buck at a autograph show.
Yep.
I'm not going to lose my when Tim's talking about this lack. Like, what is he worried about with the passion of college football that's going to erode because a student athlete makes money at a car dealership because he is on a commercial for a restaurant that has great sub sandwiches that he likes? Like, all of a sudden, I'm not going to be as into State U. Like, what? I don't see this being a issue of passion at all. So I look, Tim has this idea of college athletics that is pure, that is his own experience, but he is not walking in some of the shoes. And again, there were probably some of his players and teammates at Florida that he knew personally could probably use a few more dollars that didn't come from a home with mom and dad and a middle-class upbringing.
Yep.
I mean, Tim Tebow was homeschooled. His parents had the opportunity to raise him in a homeschooled environment. You know how rare that is for other student athletes?
Yeah, that's just, and that really is like shows the naiveness to it all.
Completely.
I mean, when I heard it, I was listening to it, and at first I'm like, all right, you know, you're making some points. You know, there's some of the.
Yeah, there are some good points in there, absolutely.
But immediately you start thinking about, it's like, well, what about the player who, you know, whose mom is working three jobs? You know, Twitter blew up. Oh my
goodness! Completely.
But one of the ones I read was, you know, it's like, okay, now tell the student athlete who couldn't make it to mealtime and the cafeteria closed because he was too busy in study hall, then practice, and then back to study hall, or had a late class and he couldn't make it to get his free meal, part of the meal plan provided through the university. But he doesn't have enough money to go to a restaurant to get something to eat, so he goes to bed hungry.
Yeah.
He says that's a common thread throughout football. It may not be at the, you know, at a D1 school like in Alabama or, you know, Florida. They may all be taken care of, but what about the other guy?
We all have our own personal experience. I mean, I was lucky enough when I went to college. I'm serious. If I needed money, if I just was flat broke, hey, mom, dad, I need yep. $50. Can I get 50? You know, sometimes they'd go, begrudgingly. Sometimes they'd give it to me, you know.
Reminisce for a second. $20 used to go.
Remember that? Yeah, exactly.
Make that last.
But I was blessed enough that I knew I could go to them. I knew I could go to them. And more than likely, they were probably going to give me money, even if they complained about it.
Oh, there was always gruff with it, though.
Right, sure. It was gruff. There was a little, what you doing with the money I gave you kind of thing. But imagine if you knew you could never make that. Have that conversation. Imagine being a student athlete and knowing you could not ever make that phone call because you knew there was no money. You knew there was nothing.
Or knowing that you had a job, you had a little part-time job when you left high school that was helping moms out, but then you decided to go off to college to pursue a dream and hope to make a lot more money. But now the money that little extra income that you were making, which wasn't much, now it's not coming in at all.
And now here's an opportunity to make, you know, $2,000 for an afternoon signing some USC helmets.
Yeah.
And Tim Tebow is going to tell you you're a selfish person.
Because you're not about the team.
Right. Because you're not about the team. Because being about the team is about being a flat broke and being taken advantage of with your image and likeness, that you're not going to play hard.
And being starry eyed about the college football experience.
Right. Right. Exactly. Because his grandfather loved Florida. So Tim Tebow loved Florida too. Well, a lot of people grow up in families that nobody went to college.
Yeah.
And, right?
they don't even know what college football. They're just like, oh, okay, Nick Saban has a good team. I guess I'm going to go play for him because he has a fast track to the NFL. For no other reason but using college as use a line from a movie, a football vocational school.
Exactly. Listen, believe me, his passion for football and college football was great. I still think his speech that he gave about the Ole Miss loss is one of the great moments of college football. That determination to right a wrong on his, you know, on his resume was admirable. But
and for
not
me,
this.
I'm still pulling for him to make the Mets roster.
Me too.
Not
me
this
too.
Year, next year. It's all you, Tebow.
That's right, Tebow. You got one more shot. Let's go do it. But I just think he's dead wrong on this. And I don't know if in hindsight he'll look back and say, maybe I didn't think about some of the circumstances that plague some student athletes. I don't know. But maybe he doubles down and goes, I don't care. I hate this. I hate this idea. But I didn't like hearing all that stuff. I just think he's dead wrong on that. All right, SB Nation AM continuing along. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I really want to try to find, real quick before we close out the hour, the line for tonight's Monday night football game. Jets and Browns. The Browns are favored by 6.5. They cover? What do you think?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, I know nothing.
I know nothing either. Remember we tried this game last year and we...
Yeah,
we didn't do as good.
I think you did better. There was a couple weeks ago, you kind of sounded like you knew what you were talking about.
Well, I just know what they mean. I don't necessarily know how to handicap, but I know what they, you know,
that's
what the terminology is.
I could come up with a reason why they're not going to cover.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem. I could sit there and go, oh, you know, yeah, Baker Mayfield, what, they're up 6.5? They're favored by 6.5? You know what? Trevor Siemian has something to prove. He could probably come out there and play really well.
I got
Cleveland off guard.
I have a friend of mine who lives in a gambling friendly area, and he texts me every Saturday college football.
Isn't that everywhere now?
Now it is everywhere. Now, I don't know. I think in Tennessee they just said it was okay just recently, not that long ago.
Now you know it's everywhere.
Now I know. So so anyway, he's been doing this for years. He's been texting me. But I tell him every time he does this, I go, you realize against the spread, he's asking me like Oklahoma, UCLA, and like the Sooners are favored by like 25 points. I'm like, I don't know. I know the Sooners will win. Do I think they'll win by 30? I can't tell you that. Yeah, they did. But then nevertheless, SB Nation AM.